This is Manifest Mindset, where we delve into our true passions, inspire the best out of ourselves, and live our life with true intention every single day.
Welcome back to Manifest Mindset. It's been a long, long time. I was looking at the recordings. I think the last time we talked was probably in May, I believe. So it's been about 6 months since we last spoke. So a lot of catching up to do now. But how you been? How's everything?
Oh, my goodness. 6 months, Bob. That's hard to believe. It's been a whirlwind of time. A lot has happened in the last 6 months. Hopefully good on your end, too. But, no, I've been doing great. No complaints on my end. Things have been really good. You know, from my end of things, I was in the season last time we spoke where I had just finished the last fellowship. Things are going really good with that. I was entering a new role, different position work-wise. A lot more time freeing up to prioritize different things in my life. And, yeah, it's been a very, very different lifestyle since we last spoke.
Yeah, no, I mean, we got a lot to catch up. But I think you were surfing a lot at that time when we were talking. Are you still doing that, or is it the weather allow for that right now?
I was over the summer a good amount. And I think I was over the summer a good amount. That was a ton of fun. The weather still does allow for it. You just need a thicker wetsuit right now, but I have not been surfing in the last couple months here.
Okay. Yeah. Just been busy, I assume.
Yep. Just been busy. A lot of other good things, a lot of good travel, different adventures I'm getting myself into. So nothing wrong with surfing, but just trying out some new things as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was before our call, like 5 minutes before our call, I was just looking at the calendar since May. I was like, what happened since May? what did I do? What went on? And in the span of 6 months, a lot of things happened. like you said, I'm sure there's been big changes for you. But do you want to share some? I'm curious what you've been up to these past few months.
Yeah, I will. I think I'm going, and I didn't think of this before at all, but I think I'm going to frame this in terms of, you know, in this last 6 months, what has been potentially the highlight, what has been the kind of next big opportunity, other than what's been a challenge as well. And I'd be curious to hear from you in your life as well with that, Bob.
I like that. What was that? What was the three things? So you said the highlight?
The highlight?
The challenges?
Of the highlight, the opportunity, and the challenge. So kind of like, I'm sure there are tons and tons for each thing that we can fill into, but if we had to kind of narrow it down for the sake of this conversation, in this last 6 months, which is really an interesting thought process to go through, what is a big highlight, what has been an opportunity, and what has been a challenge?
Yeah. All right, next shoot. I'm curious. I want to hear.
Okay.
What have you been up to?
Well, I was thinking, do we go, like, I share all mine and you share all yours? I think for the sake of flowing this in conversation, I think I'll kind of go throughout mine. We can talk about that a little bit, and then I'll be curious to hear for yours, because for me, they kind of lead into each other.
Yeah, sure.
So for me, the highlight was actually this trip I took this summer. I took 2 weeks of vacation, and this was mid to late June, end of June, kind of a celebration for me after the end of all my programs. And I took a trip back to upstate New York. And it was a chance to see a lot of old childhood friends, see my parents before they move, because they're actually moving out of state. So kind of the last big chance at my old home, and seeing all that with all the memories and everything. I got a chance to see both my two younger brothers. A lot of good connections. Then after about a week and a half or so in upstate New York, which was kind of like an amazing time reflecting on everything I'd been through since growing up in that area, I went down to Pennsylvania with a bunch of college friends. Then we all had like a 3-day hangout, cabin in the woods kind of deal, a lot of basketball, a lot of just good social fun with some great people. And that was probably a big highlight for me. Of just like such this huge exhale, breathing out, enjoyment, and really celebration of everything I had been through up until that moment.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So it sounds like you wrapped up, well, everything education-wise seems like you kind of at the end there in terms of, I mean, learning never stops, but in terms of a formal education process, sounds like you completed it, and this was kind of your celebration for all that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. And it's funny, I've had different people ask me recently, you know, is it, even the last few weeks, like, is it worth it or not? I said, well, for me, it was absolutely. But it's also, it's not for everybody, and you have to be mindful of, you know, how you want to spend your time and what you do or don't want to sacrifice along the way.
Yeah, I mean, one of my challenges is the fellowship, and then, boy, a fellowship, it's taxing, it's challenging, it's not for the light of heart. But no, it sounds like you had a great experience.
That's awesome, Bob. You brought it up. Tell me more about the fellowship and maybe the challenge within that for you.
Well, yes. So I'm going through, so I guess just to kind of recap, if somebody's listening, Nick, you finished your spine fellowship, was it 2 years ago? And then you finished
correct.
Your pain science fellowship this year?
Yep, last year.
So you've gone through two fellowships through Kaiser. So I'm currently going through a fellowship through the McKenzie Institute that started this January, so last January. And it's been good. It's been a lot of just online stuff right now. But it wasn't until the in-person portion where it really ramped up for me and gave me really a kind of like an ego check or like a humility check in terms of what I really need to focus on. So one of the mentors that I'm going with, he's faculty. He teaches for the McKenzie Institute. He works in a small clinic. Well, he works in a hospital system in Pennsylvania, but it's a smaller clinic, but he sees a lot of Medicaid population and a lot of workers' comp, as well as those, but many secondary gain or involved in that, in those cases. So a bit more of a challenging population. But typically, like when you go through your clinical placements as a student, like you're doing your placements, you do some residency stuff, and you get mentorship, most of the time it's like, okay, you kind of mess up and you pick yourself up. But if you, at least in my experience, I don't know if correct me if I'm wrong, but in my experience, most of the time is you don't really get badgered that hard on kind of really the foundation. But you're going to pass most of the time as a student. Like if you're fair, like most of the time they kind of just move you along. As long as you're safe, as long as you're confident, right? But then once, at least in my experience, when I went to the fellowship level, it's a whole different ball game in terms of how detailed they look at you in terms of, okay, how well did you interact with that patient? How well are your basic skills and knowledge? Because that really separates the basic clinician from the expert clinician, right? Just knowing how to what screening cranial nerve, doing that, all the basic stuff that you learned in PT school that unfortunately I really haven't done like recently until the fellowship hours, right? Like, so I guess getting a check in terms of what I really need to work at was a humbling experience. And I was talking to the fellowship, because I went through the residency program through the institute as well. The fellowship director was basically saying, well, Bob, it's like you went from the Coast Guard training and now you finish with that, you pass that, and you moved on to Navy SEAL training. Which there are many times during my fellowship hours are like, wow, this is really, really tough. But it is definitely making me a better physical therapist, which is really the end goal, right? Being able to better manage patients, better interact patients, better keeping them on board so they can finish their plan of care and allow them to basically reach their goals, right? So that's a big opportunity and challenge for me. So initially the plan was I was going to finish it next year, middle of next year, September of next year. But now we're just pushing it back. So I have more time in between to digest what I'm learning and implementing that. So that's where I'm at with the fellowship. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's just a difficult road, probably the hardest experiences I've had as career-wise. But very fulfilling.
You know, Bob, it's interesting hearing you talk is I've had a bit of a contrasting opinion and perspective and experiences where it's not just towards the end, like the fellowships or so, where they really challenge you. A lot of it is, for me, it's been, you know, certain clinicals, sure, you kind of get along, get passed through, whatever. Other ones, it's, well, no, they'll hold you to a really high regard and a high standard. I'm going to butcher this quote, but I'll paraphrase it. Something I saw recently talking about coaches, right? And there's a lot of analogies that we can draw on from the sport world and a coach caring for you in a similar way that a mentor might. You don't want the coach who just says, okay, or good enough, or you got by, right? Or just gives you the little check mark and moves on undeservingly. That's the one who's given up on you. But the coach who's willing to put in the hard work, to volunteer their time, to put in the hours and dedications, and to say, hey, you need to work on this. You need to work on that part and this and this. It's turning us into, you know, for whether it's a young athlete, a better man or woman, an athlete performer. But for us, it's turning us into better therapists and better humans as a result of that, too, hopefully. That's things that we're trained to pay attention to and alter and change and have more nuance with it, right? And when you get to, or it sounds like what I'm hearing from you, Bob, is when you're at this true fellowship level now, it's kind of quite incredible the number of things that people can grade you on or get nitpicky about to help you with your process.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is, right? There's just a higher standard that you're being held to now, and then it's just it's very, number one, it's hard to find places or mentors that can do that to you because it is tiring, like you said. Like, you have to volunteer a lot of your time, you have to volunteer a lot of your effort as the mentor to the mentee or the coach to the athlete or the student. I think if you can find an environment that can do that, I think that, at least in my opinion, just accelerates growth so much more. Because I've only been with my fellowship mentor, I think a total of 5 days. So right now I'm going once a month or once every other month. I drive down to Pennsylvania, then I drive back. And in those 5 days, I've already seen how different I practice compared to before I started the hours.
What's the biggest change been for you, Bob, both for how you actually practice and the mindset shift too?
So it's more about how I can be a better healthcare provider. I think that was the biggest mindset shift for me, rather than like, wait, how can we classify this patient? How can we get this patient better in terms of their pain, their reaching their goals, and shifting that mindset more towards, okay, how can I be a better healthcare provider, rather than, okay, just treating the patient and classifying the patient. So in terms of, okay, how can we reach their long-term goals, get the patient healthier, like how do we get them to work on, so the CDC or the Department of Health recommends, okay, 150 minutes a week of moderate activity, two days a week of strength training, sleep, nutrition, like all these different things. Like, are we working towards being a better healthcare provider to better manage these people? And then I think that's my biggest mindset.
And Bob, I can tell with the way you're talking, you're holding this word of healthcare provider in a high regard and a specific connotation that I'm not sure to the average listener right now if they're understanding exactly the intention of what you mean by that beyond just a superficial level. So can you describe more really what that distinction and difference is for you of like how does you focusing on being a good healthcare provider differ in experientially in your responsibilities than what you used to be more focused on?
Yeah, and again, I don't want to say I previously didn't care about my patient, which is not true.
I would not have inferred that.
but I think to me, what the definition of being a really good healthcare provider is really in the name, right? You actually care for the health of the person in front of you rather than just trying to get the patient in and out as fast as you can, but also meeting their needs, right? So you know when you go to a doctor, you're waiting in the waiting room, you see them, see the MA, medical assistant, you sit down, you interact with the waiting after 5 minutes. It's really hard for them to work on, when you have a thorough analysis of the patient, have a thorough understanding of their goals and their expectations, whereas with physical therapists, we have a lot more time with patients. We have 30 minutes for that at least. And then we can really delve into their goals and we can really delve into their expectations to better manage their health for the long term, rather than be like, okay, you have shoulder pain, all right, let me fix that up for you, and you're on your way. But, okay, you have shoulder pain, let's manage that, but also manage how can we get you to a better healthy point for long-term success, right? So that's kind of what my mindset has shifted towards for the better, because that's kind of what we should be doing as a physical therapist.
And so I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here, right? Because I can hear the voices of people listening in now and saying, yeah, that's great, and that's amazing, and that's awesome, but why do you need a fellowship to do that?
That is fantastic. That's a really good question in terms of where, because the question is where do you start to get that point of knowledge, right? You can get it in school. You can get it in residency. I think being held to that higher standard every time you see a patient, I think that's where the fellowship level is at. Because like I kind of mentioned in the beginning of this podcast was, like, what I just described was pretty basic. It's pretty basic stuff as being a healthcare provider. You're going to healthcare to help people. But those that are really good do the basics really, really well with every single patient that comes in. And I think being at that fellowship level just holds you to that highest level every single time with every single patient. Because, you know, when you see patients, you get tired. Everybody gets tired. But how can we get yourself to better manage pretty much everybody that walks the door on your caseload that day for the most optimal experience? And I think that's kind of where this fellowship is leading me towards now.
And I think, Bob, when I hear your story, you've had a background where you've come in, you did well as a student, you did residency, you were very motivated, pushed yourself for that in developing these clinical skills, clinical reasoning, pattern recognition, how to help patients with the orthopedic things that they were going through and having challenges with in an organizational system and way. But very much seeing this as a scientific, this is a case. And sometimes when you are now, quote unquote, graded on, well, how is the interaction? How is their motivation? What do you do to help with that part of it? And really integrating the full picture again. Sometimes it's through that lens where we start to put things together. So other people might have that as a student, right? And they don't have to, I would say, you should work more on refining that. But I think the biggest difference here is what you're really talking about, Bob, is yes, you need to care, but it also needs to be combined with a high level skills in order to match that. Like, you can care all you want, but you also have to get the person better.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Either one in isolation is nice and important, but really if we had a profession, I'm just imagining this for any profession out there, right, but specifically in healthcare and specifically for us, physical therapy, if we had a profession where every single provider both had a high level of competency where they could truly, truly help people in whatever specialty it was, and they had a high level of care and dignity for that person and investment in that person, we would be in a very different field right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, right? In terms of coming out of school, you really care about your patients. You really want them to get better. But like I would care about the patient. I would use motivational interviewing skills. I would communicate well, but none of them would get better. And then you spend all your efforts, okay, learning how to do a certain skill, how to do a certain technique, how to view it for a certain lens. And then you get really good at that stuff, but you kind of forget about the stuff that you learned in the beginning. And like you said, I think this fellowship is just kind of combining those two and really allowing myself to really look at both sides from that. Okay, how can I manage this patient from a skill set, but also a communication and motivation set as well? Which again, I am really grateful for that, because most of the patients that walk through the door, I know how to manage. There's really, excuse me, I would do different techniques or whatever to really manage these patients well. But in terms of, okay, long-term outcomes, I think that's kind of where I was lacking, that this fellowship really allows me to get going with.
When you say long-term outcomes, what do you mean by that? And how does that differ from what you were doing?
Well, that's what we're talking about in terms of long-term outcomes, in terms of how can we get these patients healthier, how can we get them moving more, how can we improve their health. And
gotcha.
That differs from what I was...
So in the past, you were more like classifying them, helping them with their immediate problem, but maybe not in the larger context of who they were and what they were doing, or am I reading into that wrong?
You can say that some patients... But now that your patient health, can I do that better?
Gotcha. Totally.
Right. So like the easy patients that work for the zero, it's like boom, 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 boom. Okay, let's work on your long-term outcomes. But then the ones that are a bit more complex that don't clearly have a path, it's more so, okay, well, good luck previously. But now it's more so, okay, there's not much we can do for you from a therapy standpoint. Sure, we can help you maybe get 10-20% of your function back. But, okay, how does that work long-term as well? Does that make sense?
Gotcha. That makes total sense. It's almost like you felt like for your end, you had to check this box of this predetermined pathway that we're supposed to do. But if you couldn't check the first box, it's just like, well, there's no point in attempting the other ones.
Yeah, you can say that. At least previously.
And I'm being a bit dramatic about it. You know, often things aren't in these extremes, but that just paints a really clear picture to the value you've gotten in the right hand of clinical expertise and the left hand of, you know, deep care for the people in front of you.
Yeah, and again, it's hard, right? Like you said, if everybody did it, we wouldn't be in a much different place. Like, it's a very rare... I mean, again, I can't speak for you, Nick, but I think it's a very rare occasion for you to see a healthcare provider that has both, that does it consistently on a daily basis.
And I think that consistently is a huge part of it, right? There are times where it's so easy. It's like, you know, based on how many patients you see, let's say you see 12 patients a day. Hey, I might have done great with 8 of them. But I got kind of lazy or complacent here for this one or that one or something else. But you reflect and you recognize that, and number one, you do no harm and you work really hard to help them out, and you know, you move on to the next time and not disregard them, but it's like, okay, with this patient, this is what happened, and you still might have gotten a great result, but maybe not with 100% efficiency or optimal choice of things. Other than from there, it's okay, what can I do next time that person comes in?
No, I mean, that's kind of where, again, this is hard. It's draining for the therapist sometimes. It's sometimes you just need a break. And I hear that. But again, if you're going to be a fellow, if you have those letters behind your name or just being called a fellow, I think that is where that standard is held. And that's why it's so hard for a fellowship, in my opinion, to finish that.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, those are my challenges and my opportunities. But
awesome.
I want to hear. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me tell you or no, I want to hear about, Bob, what's your, who delved really deep in that, what's your highlight from this last 6 months?
I'll share a personal highlight and a career highlight.
Totally.
So a personal highlight, my girlfriend and I, we moved in together last year, but now we moved in somewhere else together, and we're really happy with our choice of where we moved. We are planning on moving to the next steps. So in March of next year, I'll be proposing. So we
Does she know this?
She does know this. So we're,
okay, I was
going
to say, because it's like you got
to
be careful if you're publishing a podcast episode, man. You got to be careful about that stuff.
No, she knows. We're going to go to Japan in March of next year.
Yep.
And we've been talking about going to Japan for a long, long time. So she
Wait,
knows what we're doing.
In like, you're doing this like 4 months from now.
Yeah, in March.
Wow.
That's so amazing. Yeah. So she doesn't know when in Japan or where.
But she knows
Japan.
It's going to happen in Japan.
It's gonna happen in Japan. At least hopefully. Who knows? Knock on wood, right? but we went ring shopping. She found a ring she liked, and now it's hidden somewhere in my sock drawer until March. but that's my personal highlight there. So
Bob,
I'm really excited.
Absolutely incredible. I'm beyond happy for you, dude. I mean, Japan trip, sure, that's going to be amazing no matter what. But a chance to. And the opportunity ahead and the joy of proposing to this person that you care so deeply about, that's freaking amazing.
Yeah, thank you. So that's my personal highlight.
See, I need to be more strategic on these podcasts. I can't keep having you say all these amazing things and I have to follow you. I'm going to look a little bit less interesting now.
No, it's just a lot happened in these past 6 months. Who knows? Next time when we talk, I'll be like, yep, nothing happened.
Bob. Don't say that.
Yeah. But no, I one of my career highlights, this was really cool opportunity. So I got to publish a case report for my fellowship program, and it was published in JMTT, or JMT.
Fantastic.
And I presented it at the AMP conference as a poster. So those were really two cool opportunities that I had. That was a highlight as well in my career life. So those are nice.
That's a big deal. That's awesome.
Yeah, not as nice as the first one, but still
you
a
know,
nice.
I think if there are aspects of your professional life that aren't quite at the same level of proposing, I think that's okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where I'm at. So I've shared my highlights, I've shared my opportunities, I've shared my challenges. Nick, I think you got. I want to hear you because I want to be respectful of your time. I know you have to go on a trip soon. But your opportunities and challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think they're all kind of connected together in a way. You know, I shared my highlight for the trip, and I've had a lot more. Trips and adventures and other things. I'll share one other highlight first, which is pretty cool. Out in California, there's a mountain here called Mount Whitney. And I ended up summiting that with three other people, other physical therapists, two of which are good friends. Another one's a friend of a friend. It was cool. We spent like a few months just training for it, doing all these other big hikes and everything. And so it was a really cool process, overcoming a lot of, you know, physical training, doing a lot of stuff to prepare for those moments. And so it's the tallest peak in the continental U.S., which was, so not counting Alaska, but a lot of fun to do that. And so I'd say challenges for myself currently is redefining how I choose to prioritize my time. And this is a great challenge to have, right? It's how Am I prioritizing the opportunities I take going forward for what I want to do, what I want to create? I'm definitely not at the level you're at or anything, Bob, but I've been seeing this lady in my life, and it's been a lot of fun. It's one of those things they say, you know, it's going to happen when it catches you by surprise, and it definitely caught me by surprise. Actually doing this long-distance relationship thing right now, which normally is not my bread and butter, but we're making it work, and it's a heck of a lot of fun. It's a good adventure with that. So I'd say my challenge is, you know, I got this amazing thing out of state. How do I prioritize my different professional opportunities for mentoring, for helping out classes? How do I prioritize the time and impact I want to have in the clinic? All these other amazing things with different friend groups and everything. So for me, it's really getting back to, you know, back to my roots of amazing time with amazing people, of family and friends, and just, you know, figuring out what's right and in what balance. So maybe this is kind of a cheat of an answer and having too much of a positive spin on it. But there can be some decision fatigue with that and everything, but I'm just out here trying to trust my heart and have a real fun time.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, it sounds like there's a lot of paths you can take, but it doesn't sound like there's one that's wrong. And, I mean, there's never a wrong path, but they're all good opportunities.
No, there are totally wrong paths in life. It's
the ones you listed, it kind of reminds me. I don't know if you remember this. We did a podcast maybe like two or maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where you were deciding between the Kaiser residency program and the one at the residency program, and we were talking about how you have two paths, and it's a hard decision, and there's a lot of decision making to be taken, and there's no wrong choice here. So whatever path you decide or whatever decision you do, it's always going to have, it's going to be a good outcome regardless. So like you said, trust your heart, trust your gut. Right? And then sounds like you know what you're doing there. That's an important thing.
I don't want to pretend like I'm all composed here and all put together, right? It's funny. I remember telling you and telling myself and telling a lot of other people too how it's like, you know what? If you're choosing between two good choices, you can't lose. And Bob, that is so much easier to believe and live by when it's like a professional versus a professional choice. But then when it's these choices of, okay, choice A has a strong personal life component with other people and a professional choice, and choice B has a strong personal component with a lot of close people and a professional choice, I still believe it. But it's really interesting. There was a while where I was actually stressing out about these different options in different ways, different avenues I could take. And I had to kind of sit myself down and talk to some close friends and everything and reflect and realize, you know, these choices, it's not always about the final, it is about the final decision. It's about, for me, making the right decision in the right way, in the right, with the right reasons. But it's also about just like enjoy the process, right? Like yes, it can be stressful. It can be pressure to figure out, am I doing the right thing or not? And that's okay. It's okay to live in moments and remember to interpret stress differently and choice differently. That I think the worst thing that I've come to realize this through reflecting on it more recently, and well, I realized it intellectually, then it's only been a while, like a month or so, where I've started to actually do better at maturing and integrating it into my life, that the worst thing I could do would be to stress about a future outcome where I stop being in the present moment and enjoying these incredible things in front of me.
Yeah, that's your statement right there. So I just want to clarify, in the past month and a half, you've gone back to being more present. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. I would say just like you Bob, reflected on your time where, like, hey, in PT school, I learned this and this and these skills. And then I went through residency and I focused on a different skill set that augmented it, but then I lost some other things. For me, there were times where I had increased stress and probably put on by myself. And that's, you know, my own fault that I have to recognize and realize that based on my interpretation of situations around me. But I, because I felt stressed, because I felt like I had to have all the answers, which you don't. You don't have to have all the answers to proceed. I've talked about that for a long time, and I believe that. But it's funny when emotions get high, sometimes you forget the things you already know or you thought you know or you learned before. You have to relearn. So, yeah, I've been through a period of distraction from that and gotten a lot more grounded and present to a deeper level as well, which I greatly appreciate.
Yeah, that's great. Again, I don't know your whole situation, but it sounds like you're on the right path, Nick.
We're having a lot of fun, Bob, and there's a lot to be grateful for.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. That's really great to hear. Well, Nick, I think this was a great catch-up. Maybe we'll talk to each other again in 6 months.
I think let's make it sooner than 6 months for the next one.
Yeah. I mentioned my girlfriend and I, we moved into a new place. There is another bedroom here as well. So whenever you're in New York City, if you're stopping by, you're always welcome to stay here and crash. So
I will take you up on that, and the same is true wherever I happen to be in the world at any given time.
Yeah. So I speak very highly of you when I speak to my girlfriend about you. So I'll be very excited.
I can't wait to meet her someday soon.
Yeah. All right, Nick. It was a pleasure. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you in a bit.
All right. Bye, Bob.
Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.